This is Art House Radio, and this week, Santos and I are talking about Brian De Palma's Blowout, starring John Travolta, Nancy Allen, John Lithgow. Made in the 80s, or at least released in the 80s, but to me, it has that great 70s feel to it. It looks like a 70s film, and it feels like that in terms of like the 70s films. The main character, the protagonist, doesn't have to be completely likable or innocent. You know, it's not a wholesome character, whereas like in the 80s, you kind of had to be the hero and you had to be perfect and likable and maybe electable. But in the 70s, it wasn't like that. You could be sort of like a dark character. And I don't know if John Travolta's character is dark necessarily, but he's certainly not perfect. But you really, it's a really good thriller. Like a noir crime thriller, because you know, you really get a sense that it's making a statement about the way things are, particularly with politics. So the story is that John Travolta plays a sound engineer. He makes sounds for films, basically. And he witnesses what he thinks is an accident, and a governor dies, but it's actually a cover-up. It seems like it's a murder. And, you know, you really get the feel of like how disgusting politics can be, and politicians and people around them, powerful people, basically. So it's really good. The cinematography is good. The acting is really good. Nancy Allen's like, I haven't seen her in anything else, but in this movie, I kind of felt like, I don't know, maybe she's, her character's kind of weird, so maybe that's what I'm thinking, but everybody else, like, I really enjoyed. I thought Nancy Allen's character and Dennis Franz's character were kind of not unlikable, or that they were, it was a bad performance, but it wasn't, that was maybe the only thing that kind of thought like, am I watching a great film here, or am I thinking that it's a great film, and it's just like maybe a culty classic type thing. But anyway, one of the things I really liked about it was, I looked this up, so I'm not quoting it from memory, but like Aristotle or Plato said that they thought art imitates life, right? You feel stuff in life, you express it in art for some reason. That's the standard. You do that and then it flows that way. Whereas Oscar Wilde came along a long time later and said, no, it's actually the reverse. Life imitates art. And I think in this movie that it flows both ways, but it really kind of hits home for the life imitating art thing. Case in point, perhaps Exhibit A, maybe. The opening scene where John Travolta, you're seeing from the perspective of the killer, we're seeing like a guy who's murdering people. He's watching college kids have sex and then he kills them, and turns out it's just a movie, and John Travolta's in the editing room trying to add sound to the movie. And so that's his job, right? And later that night or the next day or something, he goes out and does some more work, and he tries to record sounds in nature at night, and that's when he witnesses the accident slash murder. And through that heat, because he jumps into the water and saves Nancy Allen's character, he's pulled in now to the cover-up and the murder and all that, because he's got a tape of it, right? An audio tape. And he puts it together with somebody's, who was also nearby, pictures of it. And he makes, it's really interesting. So he's using his skills as a cinephile or working in movies to make an actual crime tape. Evidence. So that's where it starts to get into the life imitating art thing. And John Lithgow's character plays, I think he's like a CIA or FBI person who ends up killing a bunch of people to try and cover up anybody who has witnessed this crime. And of course, he's going to try and kill John Travolta and Nancy Allen's character. But Travolta, they sense that something's wrong, and he wiretaps her, and she goes with him. And so he's listening, and when he's doing that, John Lithgow actually kills her, and he's got it on tape. And at the end of the movie, he puts her scream into one of the horror films that he's editing. So she becomes like immortalized, but also it's like almost like the murder, the whole thing had to take place for him to have this sound clip in a way. So that to me is like putting life imitating art like way up on a pedestal, but I don't know, it'd be interesting to talk about it more.
I thought Blowout was a really interesting film. I immediately felt the same kind of nostalgia that I have when I'm watching Stranger Things, and it just for the 80s, and it just made me think like, what if people want that kind of nostalgia instead of waiting for new shows that are set in that period, why don't they just go back and watch some of these really great films from these periods? And I mean, there's so much more to talk about than just the difference in what was happening in terms of cinema in these two different eras today versus this was the early 80s. But just one of the stark contrasts that I couldn't really shake as I was watching it is just how much longer the cuts are. I mean, the cutting in today's TV and films is just borderline kind of almost like psychotic. Like, it can't have a shot that's longer than a second or two, right? But there's all sorts of long, interesting shots. I mean, not even extremely long, but just the average shot in Blowout is, you know, much longer. The film sort of just slowly unfolds, and it's centered around this story. Like so many films today, story seems like the least important thing. Nobody's interested in, or very few people seem interested in, first and foremost, telling a good story. It's all about how many buildings you can show blowing up or whatever. I mean, Star Wars, the newest trilogy, that definitely was my biggest complaint, is that they didn't really seem to care about the writing. The story was awful. It was all just about, and the action scenes are great in a lot of ways. But Blowout is so much about, and it's a story that's not even, it is based on an older film I read. So that's true, but it just feels like today there's also not a whole lot of room, unless it's a comic book or something that immediately makes the film that you want to make marketable, it's not going to fly. That's what it seems like. Whereas, you know, you have all these older films that are not necessarily conceived of first and foremost in that way. So, I mean, Travolta was great in this film. I can't remember the dude's name, the guy from Third Rock, whoever that is, John Lithgow or Lithgow, something like that. He was really good in the film too. I mostly saw him in Third Rock from the Sun when I was like in middle school. So going back and seeing him in all these darker roles that I didn't know that he was like sort of typecast in that way, earlier in his career. So it's interesting to see him in those roles, and he's really, yeah, really good at that too. So yeah, I thought it was super interesting, and the way that it sort of wraps up and has a unhappy ending, but it's a very symmetrical ending that kind of, you know, ends the same way that it began, with Travolta sitting there watching, working on the films or whatever. So yeah, overall I thought it was super interesting, and it was refreshing in a way to have all those things, the elements of story and just the different kinds of shots that were, I don't know, it just feels more artistic than a lot of the films today tend to be.
I think that's a really good point about the craftsmanship of films back then, or at least with this particular film. It still happens today, but, you know, like, the cuts alone. What was it? I've said this before on the podcast, but there's like a film course somewhere that I heard on a podcast where they were saying, okay, we're going to watch a film from 1950s or 60s, and every time there's a camera change, I want you to clap, the whole class. And in the 50s, it was like, clap, clap. And then you fast forward and they watch a movie from 2010, it's like, constant applause. Clap, 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 clap. And I think that's one of the things that I really like about this era too, or this movie in particular. I keep saying era. I do feel like it's the clapping has gotten faster and more frequent as we've gone on. So to go back to the 80s, even though it does feel like a 70s film to me, it's definitely something that I like about it. And also, you were talking about, you know, just sort of the way that it's done. I can't remember exactly what you said, but it felt to me like we were seeing a real artist here, where he's spending time, like Travolta's using his, like, there's one scene where before he catches the audio of the accident / murder, he's like just having like a minute of exchanges where he's like filming, then he goes to the gun, then he's filming, goes to the gun, and it's just like this really poetic movement with a camera and a person and the story, and those things happen throughout. And you start, there are moments like that where you start to think, okay, we're watching someone who kind of knows what they're doing, and they have a vision. You know, it's not just like no script and just like winging it, and there's an explosion in a building, like you're saying. So that's one of the craftsmanship, the artistic quality of this film is also one of the things that I liked. Get this helmet on. I feel like I'm in a Saving Private Ryan. Like, hey, Sarge, we got some guys coming up the hill, Sarge. What do you want us to do? Huh?